Don't worry about anything, but in everything but prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, to begin with Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Again, Luke 1, starting at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Verses 26 to 56, Luke chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for your word, and thank you once again for the glorious story of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world as the greatest and most blessed gift the world has ever received. Father, more and more I pray that your Spirit will work mightily in the heart and the life of every single listener and in the body of Christ. Stir us more and more to allow the Spirit of God to fill us and for help us to be the bright shining witnesses pointing the world to Jesus Christ that you would have us to be. And I pray that the fire of your Spirit burning upon us will increase with every passing day as we recognize more and more what a wonderful and blessed and precious gift the Lord Jesus is and the salvation that he brings. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we're thankful that you love sinners like us. God, that we are in Christ Jesus, that we have the security of that day by day. We're thankful that our hope is not in presents under a Christmas tree, but our hope is in you. And what a hope we have 365 days a year and throughout eternity. You're such a good God to us. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. And today on the broadcast, we're looking at the topic, the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare. Again, the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare. And, you know, I think it's very helpful for us to recognize that when we look at the wonderful and the beautiful story of the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world, it's a beautiful, a warm, a touching, and a rich story. Yet at the same time, it's a tough story. It's a harsh story, a story with harsh realities of the world. And we see the cruelty and the wickedness of the world in the midst of the story as well. And in many ways, the story and the way the world was when Jesus came into the world as a baby so long ago is not unlike, in many ways, the world we live in today, a harsh world, a tough world, a difficult world. But we're wise as believers to recognize that God calls us to be spiritual warriors, well-equipped with His Word and His Spirit, to be used to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needs to hear it, and to share the love of Jesus Christ that God gave us through in the form of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to share Your Word and wisdom to encourage believers to become the faithful kingdom warriors You'd have us to be. Stir us and fill us anew with Your Spirit of grace, and empower us to be warriors who are more and more fruitful in Your hands with every passing day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God now in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Hezron by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Matthan, and Matthan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations, and from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. End of Matthew chapter 1. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession again, and we're looking today at the topic of the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare. And as I've already begun to share some during this Christmas season, I want to continue to encourage you to consider an activity for you and your family during this time. You know, I think of the Christmas narratives, and of course, narrative is just kind of a fancy word for story. The Christmas stories They're found specifically in the Gospel of Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, what we consider often the traditional Christmas story. But more treasures can be found in the Christmas narratives than just the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the gifts given by the wise men to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christmas narratives are simply the Christmas stories found in those chapters I just mentioned, and they make up the Christmas story. It's in these four chapters, again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, that we find from God's Word a treasury of grace, wisdom, salvation, and hope that make up the wonderful and blessed story of Christmas. The Christmas story and the narratives that make up the Christmas story are simple, but they're profound. They're humble, and they're glorious as well. They're full of wonder and full of grace. They're about normal people, yet filled with wonderful and supernatural events. Here in these stories, God invades the planet Earth with His peace, His hope, His gift of salvation, His Son, Jesus Christ. This Christmas season, we want to encourage you to consider a few suggestions for you and your family that can greatly bless and encourage and strengthen you and your family in your observance and your honoring of Christmas. During the Christmas season, we want to encourage you to take the time to read Matthew chapters 1 and 2 together as a family and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And when you finish reading them through once, read them again. And then when you finish, read them again. Spend time reading and meditating on them throughout the month of December. And if you happen to have young children, we would encourage you, let the children, if they can read, let them do a lot of the reading as well. But again, we'd encourage you, read it as an individual believer, but also, as I said, with your family several times. Again, parents, I'd encourage you to have your children take turns reading and ask each one of them to read, maybe have each child to read a chapter or a portion of a chapter out loud to you. And of course, obviously, it's good for you to read, but it's especially good to have the children read as well. But also, as they read, allow them to stop and ask questions. In fact, encourage them to ask questions. Typically, children have very, very good questions. And many times, the questions, to be quite honest, may be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the children's questions are touching, and often they help to point out things that are really powerful and wonderful in the Christmas story that sometimes you may or may not have thought about. One suggestion, again, an additional suggestion is, during the Christmas season, in addition to reading through them, get some form of audio Bible and listen all the way through them as well. Because remember this, it's not about just saying, well, I've read through the details. The Holy Spirit will speak to you mightily through the Christmas stories. So as you listen to them through, in addition to reading through them, it'll bless you and God will speak to you as well as encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Now, if you happen to have grown children, or maybe just grown children or loved ones as well that you'd like to do this as well, you might want to take the time to ask if you can read a portion of the Christmas story to them over the phone, or ask them if they'll read it for you. Now, some people might think, well, I don't think they'd do that. But you know, some would. And also, you'll bless them whether you read to them or they read to you. But remember that the telephone, like everything else we have, is really to be used for the glory of God, and this is a wonderful way to use it during the Christmas season. So, just a very few goals that encouragements we're sharing you to do during the Christmas season. I hope that you'll take time to consider doing these things. Now, keep in mind, people will often say, well, I'm busy. I don't know if I have time to do that. You know, we're all busy, and life can be very, very busy. But remember this. When you're sharing the Word of God in a way like this, you're redeeming the time. You're making the most of the time, as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 encourages us to do. So I hope you'll take time to do that. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession today as we're looking at the topic, the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare. We'll be right back.
Joyful, joyful we Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above.
Music of Casting Crowns, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare. We just read a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 1. And again, the stories are powerful, wonderful, and blessed. And we were encouraging you to be sure and take the time with your family to read through all the Christmas stories, specifically as found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. You know, we would be very wise to learn an important lesson from the wise men of Matthew chapter 2. In the busyness of their lives, they were wise enough to put aside all their busyness, and they took much of their time, spent their money, their time and their energy and effort to follow God. They followed the guiding star God provided for them to come and find the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews and the King of the universe, and worship Him and bring Him precious gifts. Let's you and I, along with our families, this Christmas be wise men and women. Let's be wise enough to put aside our weapons of mass distraction, our TVs, our computers, our MP3 players, game systems, CD players, and cell phones. Let's put aside some of our shopping and our gift finding and seek the Christ. And remember, you will always find Him in the Word of God. Now, some believers might take the time to read the Christmas stories maybe once or twice, which is still very good, but I would encourage you to read them over and over and over again, because again, you'll glean more and more wisdom, grace, strength, and encouragement for you and your family. Taking time to read and meditate on the Christmas stories throughout the Christmas season will be its own reward. It's a gift you can give to yourself, to your family, and to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Well, in looking at Matthew chapter 1, it begins with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And now, sadly, sometimes believers make the big mistake of thinking, well, let me skip the genealogies, they're not important. Actually, they're extremely important. Who you came from, who your family is. In fact, you could almost give a title to Matthew chapter 1. You could entitle the whole chapter, Who's Your Daddy? Because who your daddy is, who your father is very, very important. And the chapter deals with the fathers in the genealogy of Jesus. And it does mention some of the mothers as well, but it mainly mentions the fathers. And then it mentions and talks about the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph. Now, understand this too. Remember this. Amongst other things, also the chapter points out the fact that God keeps His word. God had let it be known a long time ago, from the Old Testament, through prophecies time and time again, that the Messiah was going to come and He would be of the lineage of King David. And God, through the genealogy, lets us know God always keeps His word. And as we look at the life of Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, we find out also Joseph is obedient. Initially, he is planning to divorce his fiancée, who it appears had been unfaithful. But the fact is, she was simply following Jesus, and God was using her to bring the Messiah into the world. And God sent an angel and stepped into Joseph's dream and explained to him what was going on. And Joseph chose to obey God and to serve the Lord there, and it ended up being a very glorious story as we know it today. So again, Joseph's obedience is very important. A very important part of the life of every believer and the spiritual warfare we deal with is our obedience, our reading and studying God's word, and our obeying. Remember this, when you read God's word and you obey it, you're doing spiritual warfare. You're battling the darkness. The word of God is the will of God. And when you read the Word of God and obey the Word of God, you're battling back the darkness and you're carrying out the will of God and you're building the kingdom of God. Every time you obey God's Word, you're doing something eternal. You're stepping into God's eternal purposes. His Word is eternal, and when you obey it, you step into the eternal purposes of God. Our obedience is extremely important. I don't believe I'm able to even overemphasize how critically important all of our obedience to the Word of God. We're called to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then we're called to follow Him. We're called to be students of His Word. God's Word tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're to be diligent students of God's Word who read and meditate on it daily and diligently obey it. Diligently put the truths we learn to work. That's what we're all called to do. And warrior is a good word for the kind of life every disciple is called to live. Because like it or not, you're dealing with spiritual warfare absolutely every day. And if you want to be a victorious warrior, you need to be diligently obedient. When you read something, don't read it just to say you've read it. You read it in order to apply it, to live it. And remember this. Everything Jesus said in His Word from Genesis to Revelation, He means it. And we read it and obey it. That's how we can glorify God, build His kingdom, and accomplish His will. To read the Word of God and to ignore doing it is to deceive ourselves. We're to be hearers and doers of the Word of God and not deceive ourselves by failing to obey. Father, thank You for the opportunity for us to be diligent students who read Your Word and meditate on it and who obey it. Anoint us today afresh with the spirit of obedience. Stir us to recognize the great need for us to be an obedient people who live lives full of obedience. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, starting at verse 10, it tells us about being well-equipped warriors putting on the armor of God. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Again, we're looking at the topic today of the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare, and we're hoping that you can draw wisdom and insight about being a well-equipped warrior as you look at the insights and truths found within the Christmas stories. Now, looking further in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2 once again picks up and tells us these words. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined for them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." End of Matthew chapter 2. Again, as we look at Matthew chapter 2, again, a powerful part of the Christmas story, the story of the wise men and the story of Joseph as he listened and obeyed God and followed God's direction and helped preserve the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice as the chapter opens, we find these are Gentiles who are looking for the Christ child. They're looking for Jesus, the King of the Jews, and they recognize that not only is he King of the Jews, but he's King of the universe as well. And so as we look at the lives of the wise men, there are many important truths we can draw from and learn from their lives. They were men, number one, they knew God. They knew who Jesus was. And they came, apparently following the Lord's direction, to find him and to worship him. And they came to bring him gifts as well. How important it is that we recognize that a part of the life of every believer, we're called to live a lifestyle of seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we seek the Lord? We seek him in prayer. Daily prayer is to be a vital part of the life of every disciple. We seek him also in his word. Every believer is called to be a diligent student of God's word, a believer who reads and meditates on the word of God, and thus hears from heaven every single day as you read and meditate on the word. And also you obey what the word of God and the Spirit of God tell you to do. Apparently, the Spirit of God had directed the wise men to pack up and come and find the Lord Jesus Christ, worship him, and bring him gifts. And they obeyed. And not only did the Lord use them way back then to point to Jesus, all these years later, as we read the Word of God, God is still using their wonderful witness to point people to Jesus Christ, the answer to all the problems of the world, the salvation of the world found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful example of the wise men, and thank you for the witness they were and are to the world today. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of joy, peace, and grace. Empower us to be shining witnesses that shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing people to Jesus, much like the star that pointed the wise men to the Lord Jesus as well. Help us to live in such a way that our lives do that continually. And help us to live in such a way that the light in our lives will shine brighter and brighter with every passing day, pointing the world to Jesus Christ. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, later in the chapter, we see the story of how that once again an angel steps into Joseph's dream and directs him to pack up and take Jesus, baby Jesus, and his mother to Egypt. Well, you know, very interesting that Egypt plays a unique role in the Word of God. It's a place of refuge, not just once, but more than once, for God and or his people, for God's people. Keep in mind, of course, God used Egypt as a place of refuge during a time of famine when God had promoted Joseph in the book of Genesis to prime minister, and he brought his whole family to Egypt during a time of famine and difficulty for a place of refuge where his family would be provided for and taken care of. So in that story, we find Egypt was a place of safety and refuge for the people of Israel. And once again, we find that God uses the country of Egypt as a place of refuge for the Lord Jesus. Joseph takes his family by the direction of the Lord and takes the baby and Mary to Egypt for a place of refuge. And so they stay there until after Herod has died. And interesting again how that God uses Egypt. Now there are, of course, a number of stories where Egypt ended up being a place of slavery for the people of Israel for a period of time as well. But at least two critical places in two critical times in the life of the history of Israel, Egypt is a place of refuge that God uses for his glory and for his will to be done. Well, but we do see how that, well, we'll pick up on the other side of the break. We're looking today at the topic, the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare. We'll be right back. Of Michael W. Smith, the song Christmas Time. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare. And as we're looking further at Matthew chapter 2. Again, it's a chapter that has some beautiful insights and truths about the Christmas story, but some very tough truths and insights about the story as well. Again, it's in chapter 2, the latter part, that again, God gives, again, he sends an angel, once again, steps into Joseph's dream and gives him direction to take the Christ child and his mother Mary into Egypt to flee from Herod because he's going to try to kill the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Joseph, in obedience, does exactly as he's directed by the Spirit of God and by the Lord Jesus. And sadly, though, again, Herod, in his wickedness and selfishness, has decided that he wants to get rid of what, in his mind, is competition to his rulership and his authority as king. And so when he sees that he was deceived by the wise men, he became very, very angry. And he sent forth word and had children put to death, all the male children in Bethlehem and in all his districts that were 2 years old and under, according to the time which he determined from the wise men. So he had a large number of baby boys of a certain age destroyed in an attempt to get rid of the baby Jesus. And you know, I want to encourage you to keep this important truth in mind because it relates powerfully to some sad realities in our culture today. Leaders in our culture today, or aspiring leaders who feel that babies, when unwanted, can be and should be disposed of legally, are examples of the same kind of leaders that we found in the Bible. Pharaoh had babies slaughtered in the book of Exodus chapter 1. And sadly, in Matthew chapter 2, we find once again a leader that has babies slaughtered. What a tragedy. Specifically reading from Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 16, it says, "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.' But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?'" Sadly, again, Pharaoh deliberately had Hebrew children killed for his own selfish and wicked reasons. And once again in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he determined from the wise men." Well, again, just as in the book of Exodus chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2, there were wicked leaders who decided that killing babies was okay and determined that it was okay and gave orders to do so. Well, sadly, in our world today, we have people who are running for office or who hold office who think killing babies is no big deal once again. Now, some might think, well, how dare you compare any of our presidential candidates or other candidates to these ancient tyrants, these barbarians? Yet not only is the comparison appropriate, it's one that we in the church in particular and in our culture as a whole need to take a long, hard look at. When we consider the history of what these wicked leaders, specifically Pharaoh and Herod, did for their own selfish and cruel and heartless reasons, it's easy for us to criticize them and talk about how wicked they were as leaders in the Bible. However, think about this. If we notice that many of the people either in office in our culture today or candidates running for office, again, many of them have what would appear to be the same or a similar perspective that Herod and Pharaoh had as well. They feel like unwanted babies in the womb can be discarded and destroyed legally. How tragic. God's word clearly tells us, "You shall not murder." But sadly, when you have leaders that seem to think that killing babies is okay, it happened in the Bible days, and sadly, there are leaders who think the same way today. As believers, it's critically important that we understand clearly God's word is the bottom line. You don't change God's word or his will based on culture or opinion or whims. God's word should be the bottom line for all of us. What does the word of God say? "You shall not murder." To murder is to take innocent life. And how sad it is that not only do we have leaders that endorse the killing of babies in the womb, You have many, many people, many of which often will say they love the Lord, will stand behind those leaders and support them. It's critically important that you understand it's wrong to murder babies in the womb. There's never a justification for it. And when you have a leader that believes that's okay, that leader is a wicked leader and should not be supported. It's important that we pray and seek to carry out God's word and will in the world. So again, sadly though, you have many people who follow and support leaders like that. If you're supporting a leader who thinks and acts and supports perspectives such as saying it's okay to kill babies in the womb, what does that say about the people who support those leaders? What does that say about our culture? What does that say about the character of the leader and the character of the people who support those leaders as well? Well, again, what does that have to do with the story of Christmas? Sadly, again, the devil has been a baby murderer for centuries, and he's still supporting and encouraging this same work. It's important that we as the people of God understand what it is, and that we stand against it and clearly speak the truth and stand on the truth as well. Father, thank you for the opportunity we as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ have of being able to take a clear stand based on the wisdom of your word, that we have the opportunity to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Help us to recognize, Lord, that just as in the story of Christmas, there were those that wanted to kill babies, they still exist today. But help us, Lord, to be wise enough to be like Joseph, obedient servants who hear your word and obey your word, and thus help to preserve the lives of precious children. Help us to know that these are your babies and they all belong to you, and that you call us to, as guardians of your word and your will and your kingdom, you call us to be your representatives, your ambassadors, to represent you and your will. Help us to know, Lord, that our work is very important, the work of standing for life and against abortion. Help us to do just that. We thank you for this opportunity, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic today, the Christmas narratives and spiritual warfare. And again, as I've already mentioned, when we look at these stories, we do find that when you really read and meditate on and think on them, you find some very tough topics and tough issues within the stories of Christmas as well. So again, our encouragement to you is take time to read and meditate on them and really spend time listening to what God says to you through these stories. Beautiful stories, powerful stories, but at the same time, stories with tough realities in them. Stories that teach us about what God is calling us as the church to do as we stand for Him, stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to mention that we have shared portions or excerpts from some articles that relate to Christmas or Christmas-related themes. And if you'd like to get copies of any of the articles, one of the articles is entitled Narrate the Narrative for Abundant Christmas Blessings. And it deals with the importance of encouraging our families to read through the Christmas narratives during the Christmas season. Another one of the articles is entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And then a third article, Babies in Politics, Pharaoh, Herod, and the Presidential Candidates. Well, again, they all deal with spiritual warfare. God desires that we as believers courageously stand up for what we know to be right. We stand for truth no matter what. No matter how you might be vilified or people may come against you, we're called to stand for what's true. I want to take a moment now again to share once. It's actually one we've shared before, but it's entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And it too deals with the reality of the need for the church to seriously recognize that we're called to stand for life and against abortion. Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Interwoven into the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is this unique truth. Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Yes, pregnancy, and specifically crisis pregnancy, has a precious, heartwarming tie to Christmas. How so? Actually, it's very obvious. The Christmas story has not just one, but two unique pregnancies contained within its pages. The specific story within the Christmas story is captured in Luke chapter 1. Two mothers meet, come together, and worship and fellowship with each other. One is a teenage mother that has miraculously conceived by a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grand or great grandmother based on her age, yet she's an expecting mom as well. We often see and think of this story as a warm, lovely story full of peace, joy, and grace. And it is such a story. Yet the world then was, in so many ways, a very harsh, cruel, and perilous world to live in. A world where foreign armies occupied Israel. A world where kings and nations sometimes killed babies in large numbers. And a world where jealousy and disloyalty abounded. Actually, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Our world is one where children can legally be killed from conception right up until the moment of delivering. And governments not only do not oppose this, they often finance the carrying out of these tragedies. And often so-called experts advise, for all sorts of foolish and trivial or misguided reasons, women to end the lives of their babies in the womb. And time again, the women are advised to terminate their children based on the wisdom or so-called insight of these experts. And for time reasons, we're going to end the reading of this article. But I would like to mention, if you'd like to get this or any of the other articles, we want to encourage you to email us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And again, the three articles, this one is entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. A second one is entitled Babies and Politics, Pharaoh, Herod, and the Presidential Candidates. And the final article, Narrate the Narrative for Abundant Christmas Blessings. Again, jparker@afa.net, and you can get copies of these articles. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that during the Christmas season, we have the wonderful opportunity to be bright, shining witnesses for the kingdom of God. We have the chance to be involved in the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship. Thank you, Lord, for this time of year in which sometimes people are often more open to hearing the gospel than at maybe any other time of the year. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be the faithful ambassadors you've called us to be. Help us to be faithful ambassadors who stand for life, and believers who are praying for your will and your work to be done, and believers who are obedient to that which your word and will call us to do. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. And Lord, use us so that with every passing day, we'll shine brighter for your kingdom this Christmas season and beyond. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net if you'd like to receive any of the resources we've mentioned. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.